Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right. It is about that time. Your favorite hour of your day is now underway. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, the man behind the mic, the captain of this ship. And man, oh man, do we have an entertaining hour of sports talk coming your way. Well, what are we talking about, you ask? I'll be glad to tell you. You know it's Tuesday. And you know every single Tuesday at Spartan Stadium here on the campus of Michigan State University, Mark D'Antonio hits the podium to talk with us media members previewing that week's said matchup. Now, as you all know, last week Mark D'Antonio held his usual press conference. There was no game because Michigan State had an early bye week, a week three bye week, but are back in action this weekend. For the first time, Michigan State will now play back-to-back-to-back road games. Well, excuse me, night games, not road games. Night games, as they will hit the road at Indiana to take on the Hoosiers, the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers, I might add. 3-0 for Indy. Michigan State trying to put the wheels back on the track after that week two loss at Arizona State University, Herm Edwards and company. And I don't think this will be an easy game for Michigan State. And dare I say this, I think this is a must win for Michigan State as well. Not going to be easy out in Indy. Undefeated team. They're riding high right now. And Michigan State coming off that loss to stay on the tongues of many as Big Ten East contenders. I think Michigan State has to win. And there are problems, without a doubt. That run game is inconsistent. And there's a direct correlation with that when it comes to that offensive line not playing great. Wide receiver core looks good, but there's just some question marks for this team right now. And speaking of questions, Mark D'Antonio answered a lot of them this morning at Spartan Stadium. You will get to hear a bit of that press conference in just a moment. Also, we'll have a brief discussion, you know, piggybacking off of what we talked about yesterday concerning your Detroit Lions, winless Detroit Lions, led by first-year head coach Matt Patricia. And I said I wanted to get to this conversation and discuss a conversation that's been talked about recently in these past 2 weeks in barbershops across the great state of Michigan. Jim Caldwell getting fired. Matt Patricia in his first year. Reports that the players aren't happy with Matt Patricia. They didn't like his rule changes and felt like he was overworking them during preseason training camp. Should the Lions have let go of Jim Caldwell? Just want to ponder that question just for a moment as we begin this hour, our discussion period, in just a moment after our headliners. And then on the back end of the show, some interesting moves being made in the National Football League. Well, one move, I should say, with the Patriots, New England Patriots, who actually play the Detroit Lions this weekend on Sunday Night Football. The Patriots have made a trade with the Cleveland Browns for Josh Gordon and Antonio Brown. I tell you, these prima donna wide receivers, right? Antonio Brown is not happy with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He was seen on camera over the weekend arguing with the offensive coordinator, then I guess someone who works for the PR team with the Steelers, got into it with Antonio Brown, saying he would not be as good if he played on a different team. And Antonio didn't like that and said, look, trade me and see. basically. And Antonio Brown, the cover of Madden, did not show up to work on Monday. We'll discuss that as well. So, a loaded show. Our plate runneth over on this September 18th, 2018. If you would like to be a part of the hour, multiple ways in which you can do so, pick up that phone and dial 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. We have the live stream up and running there. You can comment below that video, and you can join the conversation on Twitter. Two ways to do that. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Here are your quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with some Michigan State athletics news. For the second time this season, freshman forward Farai Mutatu has scored with less than 4 minutes left in regulation to guide number four Michigan State past number eight Notre Dame 1-0 last night at Alumni Stadium. Now, with the win, Michigan State remains undefeated in its first eight games with a 6-0-2 record. Head coach Damon Rensing doing work. While Notre Dame falls to 3-2-1 this year, both of the Irish's losses have come against Big Ten teams, falling to number two Indiana last week. Michigan State has now won two straight against Notre Dame, both coming on the road. In 2016, the Spartans came up with another 1-0 win. Overall, Michigan State improves to 8-17-6, all time against the Fighting Irish. Michigan State baseball will take on Penn State in a nine-inning exhibition game to be held this Sunday at 1 p.m. at Sports Force Parks at Cedar Point Sports Center in Sandusky, Ohio. I love Cedar Point. Go there all the time. At least try to go at least once out of the summer, right? I did not go this year, though. I will say that. I'm regretting that. All right, the exhibition is the conclusion of an eventful weekend featuring an event with the Force All-Stars in a practice to be held on Saturday before Sunday's scrimmage. The weekend's activities includes a play day with the Force All-Stars on Saturday morning at 11 a.m., followed by practices from 12 to 3 p.m. on Saturday in prep for Sunday's scrimmage at 1 p.m., all taking place at Sports Force Parks at Cedar Point Sports Center. Now, last year, the Spartans went to Sports Force Parks at Cedar Point for a practice and played with the Force All-Stars, a team of local special needs kids at the Vacation Land Federal Credit Union Stadium. Very cool stuff there. All right, the Big Ten Conference announced yesterday that Michigan State's final non-conference game of the 2018 regular season against Central Michigan football on Saturday, September 29th, will be a noon kickoff, 12 p.m. at Spartan Stadium. Now, the game will be televised on Fox Sports 1. Michigan State travels to Indiana this Saturday to face the undefeated Hoosiers in the Big Ten opener. That game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. More on that game later on this hour, as you will hear from head coach Mark D'Antonio this morning addressing that matchup against the Hoosiers. Nebraska QB Adrian Martinez, he practiced yesterday, but his status for this weekend's Big Ten opener against the Michigan Wolverines remains in question. Speaking at his Monday press conference, Nebraska head coach Scott Frost said Martinez practiced that day. Frost said the decision will be made later in the week. Martinez was injured on a play where a Colorado defender appeared to hold on to Martinez's leg and twist.
Frost was guarded in how he talked about the play and said the play had been turned into the Big Ten and the Pac-12 for a review. All right, Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. Matty Patty knows Detroit Lions fans are flat out furious, and understandably so, about his team's 0-2 start to the NFL season. This is what Patricia said yesterday in a conference call with Detroit reporters. Quote, I would say that the fans are obviously the ones that we are trying to go out and work the hardest for. And I certainly understand their frustration. And we are doing everything we can possibly to make sure we get this thing turned around. End quote. Specifically, Patricia hinted that there's nobody more disappointed than him when the team goes out and loses, thanks to the preparations they put in on the field and try to achieve excellence. So, and we'll have more on the Detroit Lions in just a moment. And, of course, the Detroit Lions will play the New England Patriots come Sunday night. And get this, the Patriots made news yesterday for this move. The Cleveland Browns have traded the talented but troubled wide receiver Josh Gordon to New England. In return, the Browns will get a 2019 fifth-round pick, while the Pats will get a 2019 seventh-round pick from the Browns if Gordon is not active for 10 games. Coach Bill Belichick still wasn't willing to confirm the trade during his Tuesday morning conference call. That's not surprising, right? That's Bill Belichick for you. The Patriots will pay Gordon the remaining $697,000 on his 2018 contract. Gordon will be a restricted free agent after the season, and New England can tender him. Get this, a group of Pro Football Hall of Famers are arguing that every member of the Hall of Fame should be paid an annual salary. And on top of that, give us some health insurance. In a letter sent to NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell, the Players Association Executive Director DeMaurice Smith and Pro Football Hall of Fame President David Baker, 20 Hall of Famers say they deserve better than what they have received. Quote, we believe we deserve more, says the letter. It goes on to read, quote, we write to demand two things, health insurance and an annual salary for all Hall of Famers that includes a share of league revenue, end quote. The letter blasts Roger Goodell as overpaid and says that the league is notorious for the hard line it takes against players. The Hall of Famers say they will not attend next year's induction ceremony if their demands are not met. That sounds like a hostage letter, right? There you have that. Well, I have more thoughts on that letter to the NFL and the Pro Football Hall of Famers basically saying, look, I want an annual salary and I want health insurance, all right? That's interesting on a lot of levels, all right? The Detroit Tigers, yeah. We won't be talking about the Tigers for long, all right? I'll just let you know that Jordan Zimmerman struggled again and the Detroit Tigers didn't put together much offense. They dropped the opener of a three-game set at Comerica Park to the Minnesota Twins, the final 6-1. With the loss, the Tigers are 61-89, remain third in the American League Central. And also, Tigers righty Michael Fulmer, who left his last outing Saturday with soreness in his right knee, has damaged his meniscus. That's what manager Ron Gardenhire said last night. An MRI exam conducted earlier yesterday in Detroit and reviewed by team orthopedic physician Dr. Stephen Lamos showed the damage. Renowned orthopedic surgeon Dr. James Andrews will review the exam results for a second opinion before Michael Fulmer and the team will decide on the next step. And as I mentioned, on the same day, at Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown posted a cryptic, quote, trade me tweet. He did not show up to the Pittsburgh Steelers facility. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette reports that Brown did not report for work yesterday. The report says there's been no confirmation about whether he has given an excused or was given an excused absence, but indicates that multiple sources did not know where Brown was. The Steelers didn't have a practice yesterday, but the rest of the players on the Steelers were at the facility in team meetings. The Steelers are off today. Now, Brown looked upset during Sunday's loss to the Kansas City Chiefs and left the locker room immediately after the game rather than staying to talk to the media. Brown is getting plenty of balls thrown his way, 9 catches in each of the Steelers' first 2 games, but he has totaled just 160 receiving yards and is averaging a career low 8.9 yards per catch, and he seemed to be having words with the offensive coordinator, Randy Fitchner. Although he's one of the best players in the NFL, no doubt about that, Brown has long had issues with the team personnel and has been admonished by head coach Mike Tomlin in the past for not buying into what the team is trying to do. Now there's another issue with what Brown, his temperament with the team. Just issues with Brown's temperament that has lasted quite a long time, I must say. Uber talented. But this does not shock me. And now you have the Pittsburgh Steelers with now their best option at running back, Le'Veon Bell, still holding out for more money. And now wide receiver problems with their best wide out on the team. Oh, boy, I would not like to be Mike Tomlin right now. We'll have more on Antonio Brown later on this hour. Thoughts, comments, concerns, call in and be a part of this hour of Current Sports, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I believe this is a must-win for the Michigan State football team this Saturday night at an undefeated Indiana Hoosier squad playing for the old brass platoon. I love that trophy. I really do. I love that. In comparison to all of the trophies in college football, that is certainly one of my favorites. Michigan State and Indiana playing for the old brass platoon. Do you believe this is a must win for Michigan State? And what must happen in order for Michigan State to come out with a win when the dust settles on Saturday night? Call in 517-355-WKAR. Again, go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can catch the live stream there and comment below that stream. And you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports. Tuesday, ladies and gents, boys and girls, thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. It's a beautiful day here in mid-Michigan, about 80 degrees, a bit humid, but hey, soak up these days because we're talking about September 18th, the middle of September, folks. Enjoy it. Hope you're having a great start to your week. I sat back and watched the Emmys last night. The Emmys were really boring this year. Can't even hold you up. Michael Che and Colin Jost, I'm big fans of those guys. They do a great job with Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, but they were pretty boring last night. Can't lie. I look forward to the Emmys every single year, but this year was just like, ugh. I think I turned it off and started playing a little bit of Madden, as I've been doing for a long time in these most recent weeks here. Didn't even really tune in to watch. I know you watched it, Jack. You watched a little bit of that Thursday night football game between the Chicago Bears and the Seattle Seahawks last night. I didn't even watch that last night. I watched the Emmys. That got boring. Turned it off. Played a little bit of Madden. Went back to the Emmys. Then that was it. That was my night. So, yeah.
Just no football?
No football. I saw the score, and I'm like, oh, I'm not. Yeah, that looks like a blowout. I'm not tuning into that. I know Pete Carroll was pretty frustrated with what that Chicago Bears defense was able to do last night. And real quick about the Emmys, I'm a big TV buff as well, and I haven't seen this show that really swept everything last night, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. I've heard of it, never seen it, though, but it seemed like every other award went to The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel last night. Also, there was a proposal. That was probably the most entertaining part of last night's Emmys, as Oscars director Glenn Weiss won an Emmy. And while he's up there, you know, he's, you know, going through thanking everybody, you know, thanking my family. And then he brought up his mom, and his mom just recently passed away 2 weeks ago. And his girlfriend's out there in the crowd. And he says, baby, you know, you wonder why, you know, take notes, fellas, even though it's pretty much impossible for 99.9% of us to win an Emmy and then propose to your said girlfriend. But gosh, that was special. He goes up there and says, look, you wonder why I don't call you my girlfriend. That's because I want to call you my wife. And the crowd stood up and everybody's shocked, and you know, she's blushing, and you know, she gets escorted up on stage, and he brings out the ring that his mother wore. His mom, who passed away two weeks ago, says, look, this is my mom's wedding ring. Will you marry me? Gets on one knee. She says yes. Woo! Everybody goes crazy. That was a pretty cool moment, I must say. But other than that, Emmys were just kind of like, oh, all right, cool. All right, going to bed. So hope you guys had a better Monday night than me. Let's dive into this conversation. You know, Jack, we talked extensively on yesterday's Current Sports about the woes, the glaring woes of the Honolulu Blue, the Detroit Lions, who have now begun the year 0-2. Things look like they're not going to get much better. And in fact, you know, when you look at this Detroit Lions schedule moving forward, I really believe that the Lions are going to go 0-5 to start the year. You play Tom Brady and the New England Patriots, who, oh, by the way, are coming off a loss. They are going to be chomping at the bit to get a dub. And looking at the Detroit Lions starting 0-2, Tom Brady is ready to get back in the winner's circle facing the Lions on Sunday Night Football this weekend. But you play the Patriots this weekend, and then you have to go on the road to AT&T Stadium, excuse me, and play my Dallas Cowboys. And then you come home and you play host to Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. This could be a horrid start for the Detroit Lions. Even if you steal, let's just say you steal one of those games, I mean, you're still going to be well below 500 to start the year. Not exactly coming out the gates and not exactly impressing a Detroit Lions fan base that had high expectations for this season. Matt Patricia, coming from the winning organization that is the New England Patriots. You are going to be our savior. We're already good. We're already good, Matt Patricia. You are going to take us over that hump. No, that's not going to happen now, at least not this year. And, you know, looking at the statistics, I mean, teams just start 0-2 to start the NFL season have like a 11 or 12% chance to make the playoffs. So with that being said, I mean, you know, on social media, many Detroit Lions fans have come at the backwards cap, pin in his ear wearing, full beard sporting Matt Patricia, because there was drama before the season started with the whole, you know, sexual assault situation that occurred back in early in his coaching career. And, you know, then you heard these reports coming out of training camp that Matt Patricia is implementing new rules. The players don't like it. The players are being overworked and they're not happy about that. Drama before the season even began. And then you have, in my 27 years here on earth watching the Detroit Lions, you have the most embarrassing performance I've ever seen. On Monday Night Football to start the year against the New York Jets, can you write up a more horrid start to a coaching career for Matt Patricia? here in Detroit. I mean, it's bad right now.
So you've heard this dialogue out there, and I've thought about it, can't lie, whether or not firing Jim Caldwell was the right move. And I think it's an interesting question to have because Jim Caldwell, sure, you could criticize him. You can criticize Caldwell all you want, up and down, left and right, for his play decisions at certain moments of the game, his inability to manage a clock. I mean, you could go on and on and on, without a doubt. But when you look at, you know, Jim Caldwell, Caldwell never had this kind of drama surrounded around him. Actually, Jim Caldwell was really beloved by his players. You know, I remember Ziggy Ansah, you know, when it was reported that, you know, Jim Caldwell, when the rumors started to come out that Jim Caldwell would possibly be let go, you know, Ziggy Ansah was asked about it, and, you know, he went on record to say, I love Jim Caldwell. No doubt about that. He's a great coach. He doesn't only teach us how to be football players, he teaches us how to be responsible men. It's not all about football. He made us understand that people are going to go through tough times, tougher than this. As much as we'd love to be in the playoffs, you've got to be able to overcome. Jim's a great man, and I wouldn't trade him for nobody else. You heard ringing endorsements, not just from Ziggy Ansah, but Matthew Stafford, Golden Tate. I mean, I could go on and on and on. There were multiple players that defended Jim Caldwell, and they made it known that they loved playing for Jim Caldwell. And not only that, you know, Jim Caldwell, firing Jim Caldwell, he was the most successful coach of the modern Lions era. Now, again, great that with a curve, because we are talking about the Detroit Lions, for goodness sake. A team with not a lot of historic success. That's saying it lightly, all right? But he won a lot by Lions standards. You know, he's won more than any other Lions coach in the Super Bowl era. 16-8 in the NFC North. The Lions had won more often against the division than during any other 4-year period in their history. They swept Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers for the first time since 1991. It's impressive. But you know what? You know, you look at that, and again, going back to grading that with a curve, I mean, we are talking about the Detroit Lions, for goodness sake, okay? So when you look at this, you have to put it in perspective. You really do. And I think a lot of folks who said, all right, this is great for the organization, we're just doing that solely on the fact that Matt Patricia is coming in from the New England Patriots, where he's won Super Bowls with the great Bill Belichick, who will go down as one of the greatest NFL coaches of all time, and saying, okay, you come from that kind of an organization? Of course we want you. And just kind of brushed Jim Caldwell to the side. And also, you know what I also think about? I've had conversations numerous times about this as well with local media members and a few who cover the Detroit Lions. You know, Jim Caldwell having that kind of success with the Detroit Lions, again, the winningest Lions coach in the Super Bowl era. He did it with not a lot of Pro Bowl talent either. I mean, my goodness, you can probably pick out maybe three Pro Bowlers, I think it is. I think that's what the stat reads. Three Pro Bowlers throughout Jim Caldwell's tenure with the Detroit Lions. Yeah. I don't know, though. Now, again, what we are doing right now is, sure, this is what we do in sports talk radio, right? We overreact a bit. 0-2. Look at the statistic that, you know, 11-12% of teams who start 0-2 of the NFL year usually don't, again, only 12% make the playoffs, right? Lions probably aren't going to make the playoffs here. And that kind of non-success is no longer acceptable in the Detroit Lions organization. Fans,
are no longer letting that fly. And this whole notion of same old Lions has gone out the window now. Expectations are higher. And Jim Caldwell, when the expectations were low, he had the luxury of kind of sailing through those first 2 years, which, by the way, he did make the playoffs. So it's interesting. For me, I think that ultimately, I say all that to say this, I think that ultimately it was the right move. I just don't know if Matt Patricia was the right move. That's the thing. I think the Jag, we were so, we put on these love goggles when we saw Matt Patricia there on the sideline next to Bill Belichick, and justifiably so. I mean, that's a winning organization. And, you know, I won't bring up the countless coaches who have failed after spending time on the sidelines with Bill Belichick, which is really puzzling to me. You know, there are so many coaches that have coached right next to Bill Belichick and taken notes on how he does things and how he's been able to have the kind of success that he's had throughout his NFL coaching career. And then they go off and it's time to take off the training wheels and lead your own respective team. And they just can't get the job done. I don't understand that. I don't know. I that's really puzzling to me. But fans overreacted to the prospect of Matt Patricia here. And I don't think that it's fair to criticize the Lions organization to say, okay, no longer is being a fringe team of possibly making the playoffs every single year acceptable. So I get how those expectations have changed. I think it ultimately was the right move. I just don't think that Matt Patricia was the right one here.
Yeah, no, and it's a good point by you. And going off of that, just because Matt Patricia may not be the right man for the head coaching job for the Detroit Lions kind of doesn't change the fact that I don't think Jim Caldwell was either. And I think that's the bigger point here is that, you know, whether or not Matt Patricia was the right hire for the Detroit Lions, and again, I mean, obviously the early returns are not promising at all, but we're only two games into his tenure here with the Lions. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't want to play Monday morning quarterback and pretend that Jim Caldwell was, you know, the Bill Belichick of the Detroit Lions either.
Well,
so
here's the thing. I mean, you look at the numbers, Jack. I mean, this is the flip side of things, okay? Even though that first season for Jim Caldwell, very impressive. I mean, the Lions went 11-5 in Caldwell's debut season, but could not reach anywhere close to that after. Right? Well, they got kind of close, but still 11-5. My goodness. You talk about storming out the gates, right? But Detroit, you know, remember when they went 1-7 against winning teams? I mean, come on now. And you chimed in my ear when I was talking about the Packers, right? Sweeping the Packers for the first time since 1991, where the Packers were starting Brett Hundley during those times, right? So this is the flip side of that conversation. So, you know, 4 years in, you know, you look at Caldwell's tenure, 4-23 against teams that finished above 500. Grade that with a huge curve. So with that being said, I mean, I have to go back and look at what other coaches were out there for the Lions to pick up other than Matt Patricia, because this just is not working out, and I don't think it's going to work out. I'm hoping that Matt Patricia proves everybody wrong, like myself, who is criticizing the organization and criticizing his coaching through 2 weeks of National Football League coaching tenure. But this looks glaringly bad right now. And also what I noticed, too, Matt Patricia had his cap on forwards. Did you notice that, Jack?
Yeah. Yeah, you think someone in the organization talked to him about it's a little sloppy as a head coach to be wearing your hat backwards?
You got to look like a coach, right? I mean, on the sidelines week one against the Jets, backwards cap. You know, I dig the pencil in the ear. I think that's cool. You know, that's showing his personality. That's just who he is. The beard, I dig it. I dig that. But, you know, he just didn't look like a head coach. You know what I mean? I don't know. I don't know. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. We've got some comments coming in on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews. I'm going to read a few of those comments when we come back from our first break. And when we come back, we'll play you a bit of the Mark D'Antonio press conference, which we bring to you every Tuesday here on WKAR's Current Sports.
hear what Coach D'Antonio had to say about his Spartans in preparation for Indiana this Saturday night. That will be a 7:30 p.m. kick time. And also, Tom Izzo was in D'Antonio's driveway this morning. I'll explain. Talk about a tease, right? We'll be right back. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you for joining us here on this Tuesday, September 18th, 2018. I am your host, Al Martin. We just finished having a pretty interesting chat about Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions. And, you know, going back and kind of debating whether or not firing Jim Caldwell was the right move. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And, you know, there are seven new head coaches in the NFL for 2018, many of them not having impressive outings. Of course, John Gruden with the Oakland Raiders, Steve Wilks with the Arizona Cardinals. You got Pat Shurmur with the New York Giants, Mike Vrabel out there in Tennessee, Matt Nagy for Chicago. It's interesting because I think that letting Jim go was the right move if you wanted to take that leap or that next step, because I don't think Jim Caldwell was going to lead you to becoming a Super Bowl caliber team. But I don't know if Matt Patricia was the right move, at least not right now when looking at how these 2 weeks have gone. Also getting some comments on our Facebook page. Michigan State taking on Indiana on the road. Three straight night games for the Michigan State football team. This will be a 7:30 p.m. kick time as D'Antonio and his Spartans, coming off a early week three bye, tries to get back on track against the Hoosiers, playing for the old brass platoon. I got some comments I want to read here. This comes from Ben. Ben says, we need to buck the trend of losing to Central Michigan at home. We always lose to Central Michigan at home. That's what Ben says on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News. Hopefully the offense and defense come to play on Saturday against Indiana. Also, Anthony says that in replying to Ben, Anthony says 2009 was the first time they've beaten us since 1992, and we've beaten them seven out of the last eight times we played them. So they really haven't had our number since 91 and 92. So Anthony with the correction on Ben. I love that when our listeners interact and correct each other and enlighten one another on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKAR News, right? How about that? We've got some enlightened listeners out there weighing in on social media. So Michigan State and Indiana, I believe this is a must win for the Michigan State football team. And I don't think this is going to be a walk in the park. I really don't. With how Michigan State has played this season, some of the same problems that we saw against that close victory against Utah State to start the year, showed up against Arizona State. I think the Spartans played played better against ASU than in that Utah State victory. But still, that offensive line is still troubling. The run game can't establish any kind of consistency. Wide receivers still bringing it. You know, Darryl Stewart and Cody White and Felton Davis III playing great football. But no protection for Brian Lewerke, and underwhelming performances in the backfield by the Michigan State running back, specifically LJ Scott. Indiana, looking at the Indiana Hoosiers,
3-0 on the year. They topped Florida International to start the year 38-28. They've beaten Virginia 20-16, the final of that one. And they are coming off a win against Ball State, a 38-10 mollywhopping against Ball State. So, you know, I teased going into that first break that Tom Izzo was in the driveway of Mark D'Antonio's house. I kid you not. I want to start the press conference there because it's pretty funny. Izzo has been recruiting. He got in. Mark D'Antonio said that Tom Izzo got in after midnight last night, and he had to catch an early flight at around 5 a.m. to get back on the road. I mean, that's the grind of being a college coach. I couldn't do it. You know, well, let me think about that again. Pay me what D'Antonio and Izzo are getting paid. Yeah, I could do that. Millions of dollars. Oh, yeah. Whatever. I'll get up. I'll give me 3 hours of sleep. I'll be on that plane and hit and I'll be there talking to that young man. Hey, you know, do you want to wear that green and white? Come on. Yeah, you pay me that much money. You better believe I will be working to the bone, without a doubt, with a smile on my face. Okay, but that's a grind. That is certainly a grind. So we start there as Mark D'Antonio talks about seeing Tom Izzo in his driveway early this morning.
I talk to Coach Izzo all the time. As a matter of fact, he was there in my driveway at 5:30 this morning. You know, I let the dogs out. I was sort of surprised to see him. But anyway, you know, he's always talking about their night games and what time he has to get home and how the guys have classes in the morning and things of that nature. So it becomes a little bit difficult. But I've always just said, hey, we're going to line them up and play them when they tell us to play them. You know, this sort of third straight night game. So, you know, I believe in repetition makes you better. So we'll see. I asked him the same thing. I had my dogs out. I was letting my dogs out. And, you know, he was on his way. I think he got back at midnight last night. And he was catching a flight this morning at 5:45 to go to some other place. So,
How has Rocky kind of transitioned to splitting reps at punter and backup backup quarterback so far the past week and a half, and how has he kind of developed as a
punter? He's done a good job. We always segment our special teams. You know, we always have a special teams, especially stretch type deal where you're either stretcher or have special teams. So he's doing that at that time. Then we have different periods throughout the practice that are devoted to punting, or we have a special teams emphasis part of practice as well where there's a 4 or 5 minute period in there. So he's getting opportunities to do that. And then, you know, obviously there's after practice as well.
Mark, I was curious what your evaluation of Kevin Jarvis was through 2 weeks. He's been pretty consistently in the lineup at the same spot for you guys, and obviously still a young player. Just wondering how you thought he's played through two games for you.
Yeah, I think Kevin is an outstanding player. He's a big, strong guy, you know. 320, you know, 6'5", you know, 400, whatever. When you get over 400, I think they just quit counting the pounds. But, you know, there's the consistency aspect. He's still young. We saw a lot of different fronts these last couple of weeks. And so there's some things where I'm sure that there's been some MAs involved there. But physically, he's got talent. I thought I was very impressed last year with him. Again, when you talk about the offensive line, there are so many, you know, one guy can play very well and four guys can play well and one guy can make a mistake and it makes all of them look bad. So, but I think he's been solid. I think he has a tremendous future here. And I think he's a foundation guy. We can build our offensive line around that guy.
I should have said this earlier. Can he be a leader in that room even as a sophomore? Is that something you see from him, or just with some older guys in there, they kind of take that role naturally?
I think he has leadership qualities as he grows, but, you know, I think the tendency that Kevin has right now is to watch and learn a little bit as a freshman, and then as a sophomore, he's speaking up more and more confident. And, you know, as time goes, he assumes more leadership.
Mark, I think we're close to the original timetable on Josiah Scott. Is he back working at all? Or
not yet.
Okay.
Not yet.
And then I wanted to ask you real quick, last week you mentioned about the difficult transition to center for Tyler. Is that a transition you're continuing with, or will Matt Allen get more work, or is that kind of a...
Yeah, we're going to make that decision at game time, probably.
Mm-hmm. With Harris, their punter returner touchdown last weekend with Rocky at that punter spot, what's the kind of adjustment in order to, I think he has slowed him down pretty well last year as well. What's that kind of continuing adjustment there?
Yeah, I didn't mention Deshaun Harris. He's done an outstanding job in their special teams and had one touchdown last week and then another one called back. And then the punter dropped the punt, and, you know, that's not good when we're getting a new punter out there to see that. So they came up with that one as well. So they've been very productive this last week on special teams. And he's a guy that you have to defend, and you have to work special things throughout practice to get ready for him. And he should be commended just for coming back from his third ACL injury. So he's a testament to hard work and dedication. There's no question about that. But I don't know, did I answer your question? Sort of. Well, I guess we'll see. You know, maybe he'll have to move up.
Mark, what are you seeing out of Brandon Boyer Randall? And it seems like he's a guy who's in position to make some plays that he doesn't always make. What are you seeing as he develops? What do you want from him moving forward?
Brandon's a tremendous athlete, outstanding athlete, and he needs to continue to mature on the football field and play with great effort every single time because he's talented. But, you know, in a no-huddle offense, he played too many plays probably last week. Got to spell him a little bit because he is playing in nickel situations, and he played a linebacker as well. So Tyreek will be back. That'll take a little bit of load off of him in some regards, and we'll play Reschke as well. So I think all three of those guys are quality football players that can play for us. And so I really feel like they need to sort of split time. But Brandon can be an outstanding player, but sometimes he gets on the edge of blocks. Sometimes he's in the wrong gap. I mean, he's a young player, so he makes mistakes. And, you know, playing defensive football is about playing assignment football. So you've got to be able to make plays athletically to do that, but you also have to be right on top of things assignment-wise. And a lot of different things getting thrown at a guy who plays a multitude of positions. You know, he's playing in our nickel package at different things, and he's playing our money backer, and that's a position that, you know, got a lot of things going on, I guess is the way I'd say it.
Mark, right here in the middle, I'm wondering if you can give us just kind of a sense of the advantage or disadvantage of having a bye coming off of a close loss like that, and how much your team might be champing at the bit to get back out there and get things turned around.
Well, I think when you come off a game like that, you know, first of all, you have an opportunity to really look at what happened in the game and step back and deal with it, and then you also have a chance to get over it. But usually the best way to get over a tough loss is to play another game. So I don't know. Again, you go back, catch 22 situation on those things. So nobody likes to lose, and when you lose, you want to get back on the other side of things. So I think our players have had an opportunity to sit and deal with this and dwell on this for a little bit. They've also had a time to step away from football for, you know, a day or so. We gave them that opportunity as well. So, you know, I'm looking forward to watching our players play on Saturday night. That's all I can tell you.
The old brass spittoon, they don't carry that around like they do some of the older trophies, do they, after the game, or do they?
Oh, we've got it.
Yeah?
We carry it around.
What do you do with it?
What do we do with it? What do you do with the brass spittoon?
I don't know.
We spit in it.
Then
we clean it out, get it ready for next year, if we're fortunate enough to win.
I don't know how much that means to you, but I know being the Big Ten opener, do you expect a little more energy, oomph? I mean, this counts a little more than just
yeah,
one,
this right? Counts. You know, when we looked at how our season was going to play out, you know, and phase one to me is always August camp. Phase two is what's happening in those first four games. And we knew that we play our first game, and that's opening day, so that's special. And then we knew we had a great challenge to go to Arizona State because of just all the intricacies involved in the travel and the heat and all these things. And I think we conquered that. That was not why we lost the football game. We came up short. You know, four-minute offense, two-minute defense, however you want to short it out. So we came up short a little bit. But the Big Ten opener, we knew, was after the bye. And the Big Ten opener at IU playing away, second straight game playing away. We figured it might be at night. We sort of put that on the radar that it would probably be at night and knew that this was going to be a big game for us. So we needed to be ready for this game. So we've put a lot into this. in terms of how we've sort of orchestrated our calendar and what we've tried to do, and it's important that we play well.
Mark, with their tempo offense, I think you guys used, what, maybe three defensive ends at Arizona State. It was a very limited rotation with injuries. But what are the complexities that tempo presents and trying to get guys in and out at that spot?
All the no-huddle things present a little bit of dynamics, different dynamics for you. And we've been good at it. You know, we've been pretty good at playing it, really, when you look at some of the teams we played and held them, you know, to 9 points last year. And, you know, even Arizona State, you know, they got 16 points. Should have been less. But you got to get your guys on and off. And we've practiced that, how fast we can do it. And we can do it in about 6 seconds. So I don't think they can run a play in 6 seconds, depending on where it's at and on the field and those type of things. But we're coming off the field as the play goes blown dead. We're coming off the field. So we can get them on, getting them off, same type of thing. So we work at it, we practice it, and, you know, we had a couple issues the first game with it, and I think the second game we sort of negated that to some extent.
Also, while we're on that, just with those DNs in particular, getting to the quarterback, too, that's one of the other parts that I wanted to add to that.
Well, the RPOs creates issues with that because you have to play the run and then reaccelerate to the pass. That's created some issues for everybody across America. You know, we're continually to try and do things to negate that. You know, and I always think that there's always somebody, if it's the zone pressures, then the offense catches up with the zone pressures, how to deal with it. If it's the RPO and defense goes to work, I'm talking about across America, trying to identify what they do and how they do it and then defend those type of things. And I just think it's sort of a cat and mouse game, you know, really in every aspect of football throughout, whether it's special teams or defense or offense, bear defense, how to attack bear defense at one point. So there's a lot of philosophical things, I think, that go back and forth over the years.
You sort of touched on it earlier about Indiana, but they played you tough the last couple of times. What sort of things did they do in those games that maybe they weren't doing before?
I think IU has played us very well. They expect to play us well again. It's been a close football game, you know, really, throughout time, really. I mean, even when there's been a couple of occasions where we've sort of distanced ourselves, it's been at the end of the game. What kind of things have they done? They ran some trick plays that have hit us in the past. They jumped out 17-0, I think, in 2014, maybe, or 13 or something. I don't know, way back. But, hit a couple plays on us. We had to come back on them. So it's always been a great football game to watch, and they've always been a great challenge for us.
So, again, Mark D'Antonio coming from Spartan Stadium during his weekly press conference that he holds every Tuesday morning around 11:30 as Mark D'Antonio previews this weekend's night game matchup between Michigan State and Indiana. A few things I want to note throughout that press conference. First off, Mark D'Antonio was asked about, you know, having night games, whether or not he likes having night games, and he called it a catch-22. He sees the good and the bad. You know, for the players, they kind of have flashbacks to high school playing under the lights on a Friday night, but at the same time, he worries about, you know, the rest of his players and also in relation to rest and performance in the classroom, you know, his players not getting home until like 2, 3 a.m., right? So he sees the good and the bad there. Also, Mark D'Antonio talked about Tom Izzo being in his driveway as he let the dogs out this morning. He saw Tom Izzo getting ready to hop on a flight around 5 a.m. this morning. That was pretty funny. Also, D'Antonio says that Josiah Scott is not yet back working with the team. So as we expect it, right? I mean, we don't expect Josiah Scott back until sometime next month. So that secondary has to step up and play better. I thought they made a step in the right direction from what we saw in that Arizona State game. Only giving up 16 points. I thought that was impressive. In those conditions and the time difference, I wasn't too displeased with that Michigan State defense. Also, Tyler Higbee and Matt Allen, when it comes to that center position, that will be a game-time decision to see who starts there. If it was up to me, I'd be starting Matt Allen. Tyler Higbee got blown up far too often against Arizona State, including that one play. I think it was like a third and one. I think it was Jack, and I don't know who it was, but that defensive lineman just totally blew up Tyler Higbee and you know, made him say mama on that play. That was really, really bad. So I think you're with me on that. Matt Allen should be the starter. I think he will be the starter this weekend against Indiana at center.
You got to hope so. No, I know exactly the play you're talking about. Yeah. It was Arizona State, and it was a one technique lined up right over the center.
Yeah.
And the ball was snapped, and about 2 seconds later, Tyler Higbee was on his butt. Pretty much the last thing you want to see if you're an offense. So, yeah, hoping Matt Allen can provide an upgrade at that position and start there on Saturday.
I totally agree. I think Matt Allen will be the guy. Also, Tariq Thompson, who did not travel with the team to Arizona State, you know, starting linebacker, Tariq Thompson. Mark D'Antonio let it be known after that game that Tariq Thompson was dealing with a, you know, it was reported. Mark D'Antonio said it was a personal problem. It was then reported later on by Chris Solari of the Detroit Free Press that it was a noise violation. So, with that aside, Tyreek Thompson returns to the Michigan State football team this weekend at Indy. And also, I thought it was pretty funny, D'Antonio being asked about the old brass spittoon. The team travels with that. They will travel with that this Saturday. And, you know, what do you do with it? You know, you spit in it. That's what D'Antonio said. You know, we do clean it out, and we get it ready for next year, though. So there you have that. And, you know, D'Antonio doesn't like to talk about injuries. He, you know, he was asked about injuries for this team and how healthy this team is coming off a week off. You know, in my opinion, a much needed week off. And he said that, you know, D'Antonio was asked whether or not MSU will get some players back, some injured players back. And D'Antonio, he started to say, you know, and elaborate on that point as you just heard, but he just said, look, I'll just say yes. I'll say yes. So, those are some of my biggest takeaways. Tomorrow, we'll go more in depth and dive into the specific X's and O's of that Michigan State and Indy matchup. You don't want to miss that. I will also be providing some dialogue on this whole Josh Gordon situation with the New England Patriots picking him up and Antonio Brown wanting possibly to be traded. Intriguing on many, many levels there. That wraps up, though, this Tuesday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Thank you so much for being a part of the show today. We'll see you on the Wednesday edition. Have a great Tuesday afternoon, and be easy, people.